Today we're going to talk a little bit about where your meat comes from and the issues that they've been dealing with related to COVID-19. We've had some issues with production, a lot of it related to the slaughterhouses where some safety concerns have been taking place. And we have with us General Counsel to PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, Jeff Kerr, joining us this morning. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Fine, thanks. Thanks for having me on the show.
Let's talk a little bit about, we've heard sort of issues that have been going on, I guess, related to maybe the COVID-19 and how some of the places had to be shut down, which caused different meat production things going on. But you want to talk about this morning about something called the ag gag. What is that? That's sort of a phrase related to some laws, I understand?
Yeah. Ag gag laws are these attempts by the factory farm and slaughterhouse industries to prevent the exposure of abusive animals by banning people from taking photos or videos on farms or in slaughterhouses, and by making it a crime many times for an investigator to get a job on a farm to be able to show this abuse. And as slaughterhouses reopen amid the COVID-19 pandemic, and they're becoming a COVID hotspot, it's more important now than ever that people can see for themselves the crowding, filthy conditions that lead to disease outbreaks. And that's why these ag gag laws are particularly harmful, as they try to keep these conditions secret. Of course, COVID-19 is not the first ailment to be transferred between animals and humans. And to prevent the next pandemic, we've got to shine a bright light on what goes on in these facilities. And of course, it's believed that COVID-19 came from pangolins and bats, but viruses have been traced back to live animals like mad cow, avian flu, swine flu, SARS, HIV, hoof and mouth disease, and more, all stemmed from capturing or farming animals for food. So these facilities should be installing cameras so that the public and consumers can see what goes into the food that ends up on their plate.
Jeff, the ag gag laws, as you describe, what's the source? Are they federal, state, local? How did they get in place?
These are state by state. They are done at the bidding of these major industries who have a lot of clout with these legislators. And so we're having to fight them state by state. We succeeded in preventing them from even coming to the governor's desk in 19 states. But in the handful of states where they have been enacted, we've sued successfully, and we've gotten them declared unconstitutional under the federal constitution for violating our right to free speech. We've struck down ag gag laws in Idaho, Utah, Iowa, and just 2 weeks ago in North Carolina. But these states aren't deterred. In fact, we're in court right now fighting version 2.0 of the Iowa ag gag law. So rather than shining a bright, disinfecting light of day into these facilities where you've got sadistic workers kicking pigs in the head, spray painting them in the eyes, stomping and throwing chickens and turkeys like footballs, they're trying to keep all of that secret. And now, more than ever, that's got to be stopped.
We're talking today with General Counsel to PETA, Jeff Kerr, about laws related to slaughterhouses, and more recently, a lot of that, sometimes it's out of sight, out of mind, or we don't want to know how the sausage is made, so to speak. But when COVID-19 occurred and it was affecting the source of meat products, and whether it's empty grocery shelves or whatnot, it sort of now kind of, as you say, shines a light on it. Do not local health officials have an oversee of some of this that's going on related to the conditions, the quality, and making sure that things are safe?
Unfortunately, in practice, no. There is no federal law that oversees factory farms and only minimal protections in slaughterhouses, but their enforcement is unfortunately a sad joke. And of course, you can imagine in these communities where these huge industrial production plants, slaughterhouses, are major employers, There's no political will to go after them. So it takes undercover investigations that, like the ones that PETA has done for years, which have resulted in the first ever felony cruelty to animals convictions for workers who were beating pregnant sows with a wrench and other horrible abuse. And it's only as a result of those investigations that our materials are turned over to law enforcement that we've been able to get these prosecutions.
What do you think drives people to act like that? Is it sort of the conditions that they're in, or those people that would hire to work in a situation like that, knowing what their responsibility is? Is it out of boredom for them? What's the reason that you see that this seems to be occurring? And I don't know, is it more than we expect?
These are inherently cruel industries. From the time these animals are born to the time they die, they live lives of misery, and that misery is overseen every step of the way by the workers, whether at the factory farm first and then ultimately at the slaughterhouse. And when you're cutting animals' throats and having them bleed to death in front of you every day, sawing their legs off, having their throats slit as they go through the assembly line killing machines, it's no wonder this is going to happen. We have seen this kind of cruelty time and time again, investigation after investigation, throughout PETA's 40-year existence. These are not aberrations. And I can tell you that in every instance, our investigators record this cruelty week after week, because we have to demonstrate to law enforcement a pattern that this is an everyday occurrence. Otherwise, they won't prosecute. And so in every one of those investigations, we found this kind of systemic inherent cruelty to animals in this industry.
Has this come about because of the industry has grown so large and the demand, and it just becomes faster, quicker, as opposed to when we think of a lot of times where you have sort of a local farm and there's sort of a smaller ratio in how things are processed?
Yeah, let's be clear. We're talking about the giant corporations that run approximately 95% to 99% of the slaughterhouses and factory farm facilities in this country. And what they found is that they can make more money by squeezing as many animals as possible into tiny spaces, even though many of the animals die from disease or infection. And that's especially now during this COVID-19 pandemic, why it's more important than ever that these ag gag laws go away so that people can see what happens in how these animals are raised and killed. They're denied everything that's natural to them, and tens of millions of them are killed every single day.
As an individual or a person or a consumer, what do you recommend, or what do you think we can do, aside from maybe maybe not eat meat if we wanted to take it to that extreme? But what is an individual able to do?
That's exactly right. We encourage everybody to go to PETA.org, where you can get a free vegan starter kit. It's got tips and information about making the transition to a vegan diet. It's very easy. It's better for the animals, it's better for your health, and it's better for the environment. And we even have mentors who are available to help you make the transition. But major factory farm and slaughterhouse companies are making the change already. Places like Smithfield, Tyson, Cargill, they already produce vegan meats, and we're encouraging them to continue to do that, retrain their workers to produce only vegan meats, and it is the way of the future. You've got brands like Simple Truth, Beyond Meat, and Tofurky, who are in major restaurant chains around the country, and it's just growing. The demand for vegan meats is at an all-time high.
It's a whole big cultural shift in just the way what people are expecting, but it's a good information to know and let people understand sort of the situations that are created by the demand that people may put on the industry. Again, PETA.org if people want to find out more. Jeff, we appreciate your time and giving us a little insight into what goes on over there.
Thanks very much for having me.
Thanks very much.
Thank you for having me.
Jeff Kerr, the General Counsel to PETA, joining us this morning.